is Daf Ein Zayin. So let's take it the Bam of Ein Vav. It's pretty much a Mishnah, the Gemara, just going off the Mishnah. It's a pretty smooth sailing Gemara. So the Mishnah says, quotes, Kosel Shebein Beis Chatzeros, Gavo Asara, Verochav Arba. If you have a wall in between two Chatzeros, there's no pathway, there's no entranceway, just a wall. So it's 10 Tvachim high, it's 4 Tvachim wide, Marvin Shnaim Vein Marvin Echad. They have to be separate Eruvim. You cannot be mitzarif the two chatzeros because there's a wall blocking the two. There's no way to make an Eruv. The only way an Eruv works is if we're all within the same mechitzas, within the same walls. But here there's a wall that separates between the two of them, so you can only make separate Eruvim, not one. If, let's say, Hayu Barosha Peros Elu, let's say there's on the top of the wall there's Peros, Elu Olin Mikan, so people from, let's say, the one side of the Kosel, that chatzer, could go up and eat the fruit while they're on top. V'ochlin, and eat it. V'elu olin mikan v'ochlin, and the other side could also go up and eat it. However, v'vachlo yoridu lematan, but they can't bring them down, because since the kosel itself is 10 tvachim high and 4 tvachim wide, it's a rishus yachid in its own right. So you cannot carry from the top of the wall, which is rishus yachid, to the adjacent chatzeris, because there is no eruv. But whatever fruit are there from before Shabbos, you may eat. You could climb up there, but you may eat it also, you just can't bring it down. It is a rishus yachid, yeah. It's not to separate the wall itself. It's a separate rishus yachid. If you don't have an eruv, so then it doesn't work. So then it says nifrat hakosel. Let's say there's a breach in the wall. Adasar amos. Let's say the breach up until less than 10 amos wide. Marvin shneim or vimratza marvin echad. You could choose to either separate, make two separate eruvim, or if you want to, you could combine them. Because since there's a pesach mipnei shukah pesach, since it's like an entranceway, even though it's a breach, but it could be used as a entranceway, you could combine them together as one unit with an eruv. However, if it's yoser mikan, if it's larger, wider than 10 amos, so then marvin echad of ein marvin shneim. That is considered a breach. It's not considered a entranceway. It's considered really one chatzer, and you actually cannot have two separate eruvim because it's considered a continuous chatzer since the breach is greater than 10 amos. So this is the Mishnah. So Gemara now says, Ein bo arba mai. Let's say the wall is thinner than 4 tvachim. It's not 4 tvachim wide, but it's thinner than. So if it's 4 tvachim wide, we saw in the Mishnah, it's an independent rishus, and rishus b'fnei atzmo, and then you cannot carry from the top of the wall or to the chatzeres. But let's say it's less than 4 tvachim. What's the din in this point? So the Gemara says, there's a machlokas amarayim. Amar Rav. Rav says, Avir shtei rishuyos sholetes bo. The airspace, the kosel now is used as both them. It's overlapping from both chatzeres. And that's a chumrah, lo yazes bo afilu male nima. Even to move a hair length or hair width, even the tiny bit would be usher, because it's neither one. If you look at Rashi, Rashi explains at bottom Rashi before you turn the page, of your beige rishuyos shalates bo, kevin de lo chashiv le mehevi rishusa, since it's not wide enough to be considered its own rishus, it's batel lagabe tervayu, it's batel relative to both chatzeros on its sides. Rishus shtei chatzeros shalates bo, and now the chatzer, both chatzeros have control over it. V'osin zelzet, as if you're in an erev, let's say, a chatzer, and b'nei chatzer don't make an erev, so each person asks each other on it because they didn't make an erev. So now that same thing, that top kosel is being owned by both chatzeros, and if there was no erev that was made, it's that they asked each other from using it, and you can't move anything on top. That's how the understanding of Rav is. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan. On the top of Ayin Zayin, Rabbi Yochanan says the complete opposite. He says, actually, they're both allowed to use the top. They have equal ownership, or maybe no one has ownership. It's hefker. So what does Rabbi Yochanan say? Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Elu Malin Mikan, V'ochen, V'elu Malin Kan, V'ochen. Not only can they eat on top, but they can even bring fruit from their chater and bring it on top of the kosa from both ends, and they're allowed to eat it. And Rashi explains here, Malin mechatzeron lerosha, from their chatzer they can bring up to the top of the kosa. But huadin the maridin you could also bring down the makom peturhu ubatel lakan ulakan lahaka. We said a makom petur. We've seen this before that if it's less than 4 tefachim wide, it becomes a makom petur. It becomes now subsumed in the adjacent rishus. It has no rishus in its own right, and therefore it's just a neutral territory, no man's land, and both sides could use it equally. So Rav is machmer. Nobody could use it. It's like a chatzer that should osen zelzeh. Riochan thinks it's makom patur, whereby everyone or both parties are allowed to use it. So Gemara now goes and quotes from our Mishnah, tries to make the following diuk. It says, Tanan, Elu olin mikan, our Mishnah, where it was a wall that was 4 tvachim wide, it says, Elu olin mikan ve'ochlin, ve'elu olin mikan ve'ochlin. So the Gemara is medayik from the Mishnah, olin in, malin lo. They're allowed to climb up. The individuals could climb up, but you can't schlep up fruit. Okay, that was clear from the Mishnah. So as we see from here, and therefore, what? So that's a din, but when only when it's a four tvach amai. So Gemara says hachi kamar yesh bo arba alba. So then you have the diuk olin in malin lo. That's when we have the restriction that you're only allowed to climb up, but you can't bring up fruit. But the implication is ein bo arba alba. If it's not four tvach amai, which is our particular question we're dealing with right now, it sounds like not only can olin be allowed, but even malinami. You can even bring up the fruit when it's less than four tvachim, and this Mishnah seems to be a proof for Rabbi Yochanan. As the Rabbi Yochanan l'tame, this Rabbi Yochanan l'shitaso, t'chi aser Rav Dimi. When Rav Dimi came back from Eretz Yisrael, he reported that Amar Rabbi Yochanan, makom she'ein bal arba al arba, mutter levnei rishis harabim, ulevnei rishis hayachid, l'kasef alava. So there's a similar din, we'll see a chilek in just a moment, but right now it sounds like a similar din, that if you're in rishis harabim, and there's a little, a little column of some sort, a little platform, that is, 10 tvachim high, but it's less than 4 tvachim wide. It's very narrow. The din is, you're allowed to, people from Rishis Rabim are allowed to put things on it, to rest things on this platform, and people from Rishis Yachad may also do this, ubavad, with one restriction, shaliach lifu, that you don't switch, meaning you can't go from Rishis Rabim, put on a platform, and then take it from the platform, put it Rishis Yachad. That sounds like some type of harama. But separately, each independent relative to each Rishis, they can utilize that area, since it's less than 4 tvachim. So here as well, by the kosel, when it's less than 4 tvachim, Chatzar A may use the top, and Chatzar B may use a top, so it's l'shitaso. And we see from this, the dig for the Mishnah is, again, if it's less than 4 tvachim, both chateros may use it in support of Rabbi Yochanan.
So this is from 3 to 10 or from 10 above?
This is from below 10. This is this is 10 above. 10 above, but less than 4. We're not talking about height, we're talking about width right now.
Yeah, but it has to have at least 10 tvachim.
Exactly, right. If it's less than that, there's different dinim about 9, as you pointed out, 3. So now the Gemara says, wait a second. Are you going to tell me that Rav less laid the Rav Dimi? Would Rav really reject that report from Rav Dimi? That by Rishis Rabim wanting to use that platform, Rishis Yochid, he says they can't use it? That's, everyone agrees to. That's a statement that Rav would not argue on. So what's he going to say? So Gemara says, "I birshudios deraisa hachanami." Had we been dealing with the din deraisa, that Rishis Rabim to that platform, that would be allowed, and same thing Rishis Yochid to the other platform, that would also be allowed, I would agree to that din, there would be a heter. But our case of the kosel, bein shnei chatzeros, is a different case. What's different about it? We're dealing with Rishus Dirabanan. And Rashi explains, Chatzeros, Dirishus Yachad, Yachad Hu, Umidirabanan Hu, the Aser. To go from a Chatzer to a Chatzer is only an Iser Midirabanan. So therefore, what? By an Iser Dirabanan, we go two directions, two opposite directions. Sometimes, Dirabanan could be there's a Kula built in. But sometimes we want to be Machzik, the Asu Chizik Lidirayim. So here, Rav explains that since Hacha b'mayaskin is a case of Berushios d'Rabbanan, Chachamim asu chizik mit the divrei, they wanted to strengthen their words, Yoser Mishal Torah. So while Rav would agree to the leniency of a Rishus d'Raisa from Rishus Rabim or Rishus Yochid d'Raisa's, he's Mekel there, when it comes to the Shnei Chatzeres, which is only an Isser b'Rabban, he wanted to bolster up their din and just machmer that one should not utilize the middle area. Tosus does point out that Rav seems to be Mekel, but other cases of Rishus d'Rabbanan, he quotes Rav Dimi and Rav Yochanan with the other kulas, but he doesn't really make such a chiluk. But again, we do have sometimes where Rishus d'Rabbanan have kulas and sometimes they're chumras, so here would be another example of such a machlokas. Okay, Gemara now says a little bit more, less than halfway down the Amud here, Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Nachman. Kosel shebein shtei chatzeros, if you have a wall between two chatzeros, Tzide echad gavo asar tvachim. From one side, the wall is 10 tvachim high. But tzide echad, the other side, the other chatzer, is shavel aretz. The wall is equal to the ground. Now, it doesn't really mean equal to the ground because it wouldn't make much sense. So if you look at Rashi to explain what's going on, then I'll try to give it a little bit more of a descriptive here. Rashi explains that tzide echad shavel aretz. It doesn't mean the wall is mamish flat, even to the ground on one side. Klomer gavoa hu min ha'achas v'namachu l'chavert. It's relative. I mean, if you have, let's say, a little hill here, so one chatzer is higher than the other, and there's a wall here, so the lower wall, the wall is high. The lower chatzer, the wall is much longer or taller, but the one that's higher up, that wall is shorter. But it's certainly a wall for both the chatzeros. But relative to the higher chatzer, the wall is shorter. Relative to the lower chatzer, the wall is longer. That's what Rashi explains it means, that's shovel art. Just since it's less than 10 tvachim from that higher courtyard, it's viewed as being shovel art. So again, back inside the Gemara says, Kosel shebein shtei chatzeros. Tzidu echad gavo asar tvachim, but tzidu echad is shavel aretz, which means just less than 10 tvachim. So nosin also lezeh, she shavel aretz. you give the rights to use the top of the kosel to the one who it's equal or at level or closer to the ground. Why? Because mishum dehavile tashmisho benachas lezeh tashmisho bekasha. Because the one whose wall is shorter, it's much easier for him to use it than to the chatzer who the wall is much taller for. It's harder to use it. And when you ever have that friction, v'chol lezeh benachas lezeh bekasha, nosin oseh lezeh shetashmisho benachas. Whenever you have this friction of one who uses it in an easier way than the other person, the one who has the easier usage gets rights over the one who has a harder usage. So that's the clout. So the Gemara says, in the similar vein, Amar of Shizvi, Amar Rav Nachman, quoting Rav Nachman again, that Charetz Shebein Shtei Chatzeros, if you have a ditch in between Shtei Chatzeros, Echad Amuk Asar, from one Chatzer, the one that's higher up, the ditch goes 10 Fachim down, and there's a adjacent Chatzer, Vetzid Echad, which is Shaval Aretz, which is equal to the ditch, which doesn't mean it's equal, but it means it's the ditch from his perspective is less than 10 Fachim deep. So now who gets rights to use that Charetz, that ditch? So the Gemara explained, Nosin Oso Lezeh Shaval Aretz. You give the rights of the Charetz to the land who has a lesser, it's not as deep, it's more shallow for his, from his perspective. Mishum Dehavale Lezeh Tashmisho Benachas, V'Lezeh Tashmisho Bakasha. And anytime we have this tension between one who has Bakasha, one Benachas, we always give it to the one whose usage is more Benachas. So pretty much the same exact din, one's from using up on top of the Kosel, one's bending down to use the Charetz, use the ditch.
So the Gemara, ditch has to be less than 4 Tefachim wide. Otherwise, it will be the same thing as
of
the
court. Exactly. If it's 10 tefachim and 4 tefachim wide, it'll be a rishus b'fnei atma. Exactly, right. So the Gemara now says, why do you need both these cases? It's pretty much the same exact case, parallel cases, just one's higher, one's lower. Once we have one din by the kosel, obviously it would be natural to say the same exact din by the charetz, by the one who is benacha. So the Gemara explains v'tzicha. You need both the cases. Because the Ashmeinan Kosel, had we only taught the case of the wall in between the two chatzeros, Mishim de Begova Mishamish Inche, Aval Charet Beomke Lo Mishamish Inche, Emalo. Because when people use things, you don't like a bend down. As we get older, you know, bending down is much harder, reaching up is much easier. So on the top of, you know, the Kosel, so reaching up is a more natural way to use something. But maybe by a ditch, no one really uses it. So even the guy who's the ditch is closer and more shallow for him than the other guy, even the guy who has less than 10 tefachim, it's not so convenient to use a ditch to bend down, the knees hurt, the back hurts. So maybe in that case, it shouldn't be the guy who's benachas. Maybe they should have equal rights. Kamash Malon, even by a charetz, the guy who has a more shallow depth in, he has more rights than the other one. And the Gemara says the flip side, there's also a chiddush. V'yash v'tzricha d'yashminin kosel, I did one already. V'yashminin b'charetz, we taught the case of the ditch. V'shim d'lo b'yisei tashmishasa. You put something in a ditch, there's no concern, nothing's going to break. As opposed to on top of the wall, something might fall over. So you might be a little bit more hesitant to use the top of a wall. So maybe for both parties, we shouldn't say it's the guy benachas versus the guy bekasha. No one wants to use the top of the wall lest it fall down. But by ditch, there's nothing to fall down. So even though it's not easy to bend down, we know that the kalim that are going to be there are more protected. So maybe you should say, again, v'yashminin b'charetz, mishum delo ba'isa tashmishasa. So you're not so concerned about using the property, using the ditch. Have a kosel, the ba'isa tashmishasa. You're concerned about putting something on top, lest it fall over. Aim alone, maybe we shouldn't have this din of the nachas over the kasha. Tricha, no, even by a kosel, we would say, we would apply the same exact ruling. Okay, the Gemara now says, ba'lema'ato. So now we're going back to the case of the kosel here, and you have the kosel, and you want to minimize it. So we said before, if there's a pesach in the wall, so then that two chatzeres can make an eruv. If you wanted, you can make an eruv combining the two of them. So are you able to, we've discussed in this past, could you make a type of pesach where it kind of goes over the kosel? We're going to talk about cases of like a steps and ladders and things of that sort. So let's say you want to minimize some of the height of the wall. So the Gemara says, "Balamato." You want to minimize the wall. So then, imgesh b'miuto arba mutter. So Rashi explains, let's say you put like a mound of dirt on my side. Let's say the kosel is 10 tefachim high. I put a mound of dirt, or maybe I put like a stand or a platform. So now I could step on top of that. So it's really going to be less than 10 tefachim. If I want to do that, it has to be the length of at least 4 tefachim of covering the wall. Because remember, Pesach has to be 4 tefachim wide. If it's more narrow, that's not Pesach. So it has to be off the ground a little bit and at least 4 tefachim wide for me to kind of climb over the wall. That's what's needed. So again, b'lema'ato. So im yesh b'mi'uto, if you have what's minimizing the height over the length of arba tefachim, mutter l'shamish b'chal kosel kulo. So now I've access to the top of the wall. I'm able to use the entire wall. It's not considered a rishus b'fnei atzmo. But im lav, if the width, the length rather, of whatever I'm using, the mound of dirt, is less than 4 tefachim wide, I cannot use the entire wall. I can only use that part that's right above that platform. I put it like a little step stool, let's say, below. And the step stool is less than 4 tefachim. I can only use the kosa right above that step stool, but I cannot utilize the entire length of the wall. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara now wants to understand, manashach. If this step stool that's very narrow, if it allows me to use the top right above it, why can I use the entire wall? The ilama ahani, if the step stool is too narrow, I can't, it doesn't work for the entire wall, then I feel connected to mir namilo. I shouldn't be able to even use the top of the wall, meaning it's either all or nothing. Why can I use just right above the step stool? Why can't I use the rest of it? Either it works. If it works as a mir, let me use the entire wall. If it doesn't work, then I shouldn't even use that which is above the step stool. And so the Gemara says, no, it's not talking about a case where I'm putting something on the ground and putting a mound of dirt or a step stool. Rather, it's talking about Amar Ravina Kigon She'akar Chulia Merosho. It's where I'm taking off something from the top of the wall. Now, I'm not adding to the bottom of the ground. I'm taking off some bricks on top of the wall, and that's the din that we're talking about here. So it's unclear how exactly that works, but the way the Rashba seems, the Ritva rather, seems to indicate is because to use 10 tefachim high, I have to like extend myself. Now, 10 tefachim isn't really that high. No, it's really 40 inches. It's really below me. But it's apparently not as usable. But once it's below 10 tefachim, so now I could easily use it just standing flat on the ground. So it's not about me using the top of the wall. It's just that this part of the wall is not the top of the wall anymore. So I'm not entirely sure how that's different, but that's how the Gemara and the Ritva seems to explain this difference here. So Gemara now says, Am Rabbi Chiel, Kofa Sefel. What a Sefel, they say, is what, like it's a basin, okay. So you have some type of basin, and you want to use it, you flip it over, you want to use it to minimize the height. So that also works, that's memait, that works as well. If it's, 4 tefachim wide, you could carry the whole kosel. If it's less than 4 tefachim wide, you can only carry right above it. So Gemara explains that vamai. Why are you allowed to use that as a type of minimizing of the height? Vadavar hanitel v'shabesu. This is something, a sefel, can be used. You can move a basin if you wanted, it's not muksa. The davar anita of a Shabbos ain't a mamayit. Only something, a mound of dirt that's muksa. When I put it there before Shabbos, that's there for all of Shabbos. I can't move it. It's muksa. So that's a mi'it. But something I can move back and forth, the step, sula, basin, why is it a mi'it? I can move it now and move it later on. That's not muksa. So something, only that which must remain all of Shabbos can serve as a mi'it in terms of the height of the wall. So the Gemara says, lo tzricha dechavre ba'aretz, where you've kind of not attached it physically just yet, but you kind of like set it in pretty strong into the dirt. It's lying down nicely on the ground, and therefore it's considered a mute. So Gemara says v'chichavi ba'ara ma'havi, just because you maybe dug it into the ground a little bit. So why does that make it muksa? V'ha tani with a brisa, a paga, which is a fig that's not fully ripe yet. Which is shetamina b'tevin, you had stuck it inside a straw, or harara, a type of bread, shetamina b'gachalim, you placed it in coals. So the Rashi explains how tevin is muksa, and how gachalim are muksa as well. Rashi does point out the gachalim must be where they already extinguished. If they're not extinguished yet, it's a problem of moving the coals around, but they're extinguished. And so the tevin is muksa, and the harara, and the gachalim are muksa. But you're still allowed to, the din is, megula, miksasa, if part of the harara, part of the bread, or part of the fig is exposed, so you grab on Nutla B'Shabbos, you could take the fig. Even though you're moving dirt, you're moving straw, you're moving coals, that we're learning in Hilchas Muksa and Smichas Chavar, we learned this past week, that something that's tiltum and atzad is allowed. As long as I don't move the Muksa directly with my hand, but I'm using something else, I'm pulling the fig, and that causes the dirt, the straw to move, that's actually okay. So just because I placed it in the ground, I could pull it out. So here as well, just because the basin might be etched into the ground a little bit, if I pull the basin out, even though I move the dirt, the basin itself is not a muksa item, so I should be able to move it, in which case it should not be a mead at all. So the Gemara says, no hachab ma'askinan d'islay ognaim, where it has like lips at the end of the basin, where it really gets nailed into the ground nicely. So Gemara says, who cares? Just because it has like a little lip at the end of the basin and gets wedged into the ground more, it still doesn't make it also to move. Because v'chi yisle ogenayim, my have, v'hatzan, the Mishnah tells us, ha'tomen lefes v'tsnon tachas agefen. If you stick in, I always forget what lefes is, what is it?
Turnips.
Or tsnon or radish, tachas agefen, below some type of vineyard, Bisban shemiksasin, when part of it is exposed, semiksasin alana megulin, when some of the leaves are exposed, ain't no choshish, there's no concern, lo mishim klayim, because it's not fully in the ground, it's not cold, mixing, you know, fruit with other, with grapes, lo mishim meiser, and the din meiser, Rashi explains here that we're not concerned that maybe it's taken root, and then even though I took meiser from this item before, if it grew more, I need to take meiser a second time, as long as some leaves are exposed, it's not part of the ground yet. And velomishim shviyas, it's not a violation of planting during shviyas because part of it's exposed. So just because it's wedged in the ground, and also venolim shabbos, I go to move it on shabbos, it's not muksa. So because there are these lips to the basin, and it's really in the dirt, I can still pull these things out, I can still yank it out. There's no problem of muksa, just like by the turnips and the radish. And the Gemara says, no, lo tzvicha, debay mara v'chatzinam. This is not simply where I could yank the leaf out and pull it out. I yank the top of the basin and pull it out. It's so wedged in the ground, I need to take a shovel and to shovel it out. Once you're shoveling out, that's a real problem. It's not a problem anymore of muks, it's a problem of chofer, of a plowing, a chorish, and that's the issue here. So recap what we just said here. When we said that Rabbi Yechiel said you're allowed to use a basin to minimize the height of the wall, it's only when it's wedged in the ground so much, there's so much dirt, so much covering, that you would need a shovel to get it out, that's when it's mamayit. But if it's so easy, you could just yank it out of the ground without having to use a shovel, that would not be a mamayit because you'd be able to move it on Shabbos and it would not be subject to any muksa.
All these cases would allow them to do Erev Chatzeros together it's not clarifying the point. It's not saying they use a top of the kota, but it's not saying that they have the option to do a separate Erev Chatzeros or together. Meaning, if it's 10 above, they cannot do together anymore, right? Yeah, each one has to do its own.
Correct.
Now, when these cases that we learn now, they would have both options to do separate.
No, they wouldn't be able to because only one Chatzer would be able to use it.
So then they still have to have
correct.
Separate.
Correct, exactly. Right now we're only talking about being able to use the top. We're going to address soon if they both have access points to the top of it, right. Then they could actually, they're considered like a... You know, a bridge over them. But right now we're only talking one direction, the ability to use the top of the kosel. So Gemara now says, Ayin, Zayin, Mabez, four lines down. Sulam HaMitzri, Eino Mimait, Vatsuri Mimait. So a Egyptian type of Sulam is not Mimait. We'll see what that is in just a moment. And a ladder from Tsuri is Mimait. So Heichidami Sulam HaMitzri, how does one define an Egyptian ladder? So the Gemara explains here that Amar Debei Rabbi Yanai, Kol She'en La'arba, Chavkim, any type of ladder that doesn't have four rungs to it, so then that would be too small. As Rashi says, two narrow lines down. It's three narrow lines down, rather. Sulam HaMitzri, hold the katan, who since it's so small, you know, four ladders, it's just a few steps, it's a tiny little step stool. Hold the katan, who v'noach litlo, he could easily move it. Misham, ain't a mamayit, that's a mamayit. It's moving a step stool from one place to the next. To make a miut in the coastal height, you need to have something that's heavy, it's something that stays and remains in there. So then, as opposed to a Gesul Matsuri, which is apparently much heavier, much larger, that would be placed to remain. So Amar Le Rav Acha Berei De Rava, Le Rav Ashi, my time of Gesul Matsuri De Lo Mamai, what's the reason? It doesn't work. Amar Le, Lo Shmi Lecha Ha, did you not hear Ha Da Amar Rav Acha Bar Ada, Amar Rav Hamnuna, Amar Rav, Mishum Da Havalei Davar Shenita B'Shabbos, it's something that can be moved on Shabbos, Lecha Davar Shenita B'Shabbos, Ein Mamai. So if it can be moved, that means it's not there to stay, and it doesn't serve as a meat. The meat must be some level of permanence for it to affect the height of the kosel to be able to utilize the top of the kosel. Well, yachid, that's the case. Afilu tsurinami, a ladder also. Even though it might be five rungs isn't that heavy. You can still move it around. It's heavier than the mitzvah one, but still movable. Gemara says, no, hasam kov do kovo. Since it's heavier, it's somewhat stationary. We're not talking about, you know, tons of weight. But it has to be something that, where it's a little bit of a struggle, a little bit of an annoyance to have to move it. It's not easily just kind of moved away. So once there's some level of effort, that indicates there's the weight, and it's there to remain. So that's the difference. So the Gemara then says, Amar Abai, Kosel, Shebein Shtei Chatzeros, Gavo Asar Tvachim. So if you have a wall between two Chatzeros, and it's 10 Tvachim high, V'hiniach Sulam Rachav Arba Mikan, the sulam rachav arba mikan. So up until this point, Ricky's point is well taken. We're talking about for one side to be able to use the top of the kosel. But now we're talking about when both sides could use it. So whether or not in the nafkamina would be, can you make a kosel? Rather, could you make an air between the two of them? Is that considered a pesach? Not a pesach through the wall, but a pesach over the wall. So Gemara says if one side has a ladder that's four tvachim wide, and the other side also has a ladder that's four tvachim wide, so now, even though they're other sides, the opposite side of the wall, but the distance between the two edges can't be three tvachim apart. If they're within three tvachim, let's say I got a ladder here, another ladder here, So they're not directly crossing. If they're crossing each other, so that's an easy, you know, bridge. That's a Pesach. If they start separating too much, that's not considered an entrance way. But if they're within three tefachim of each other, so then that the Gemara says, if it's ein bein zeh lezeh shlosha tefachim, mimait, it's a mimait that serves a Pesach, and would serve to allow you to make a Pesach, or rather a erev between shtei chateros. But if it's shlosha, if it's more than three tefachim wide, where you can't apply lavud anymore, it does not minimize, and it would only allow each party to use the top of the kosel, but would not allow them to make an erev with each other. And the Gemara says this is all only true. The Gemara qualifies v'lo amrin ella de'lo have kosel arba. If the kosel isn't four tefachim wide, aval have kosel arba afilu muflag tuvanami. But if the top of the kosel is four tefachim wide, even if the two ladders are so far apart from each other, you actually can use it as a Pesach. Why? So Rashi explains, since it's four tefachim wide, you could go on top of the wall and walk across. If it's less than four tefachim, it's very hard to walk that balancing beam to get from one ladder to the next ladder. If they're close to each other, I climb over this way, and I can jump over the other side easily. But once I need to start balancing myself to get to the far away ladder, that's not so usable. But if it's four tefachim wide, the kosel, then even though the ladders are so distant from each other, that will still actually serve as a Pesach to allow the air. Just look at Rashi. Rashi says, aval yesh, halfway down the Rashi, aval yesh berachbo dalid. If there are four tefachim wide on top of the kosel, afilu muflok tuvo. Even if the ladders are very distant from each other, sharei ola l'rosho, umahalech b'rosho ad shemegia l'sulam chaver, just a very long extended entranceway, if you will, to allow for the Erev to be in effect. So Gemara now says, we'll just to read two more pieces here. The Gemara goes into the next daf, a few other examples. We'll just stop at the bottom of this daf here. The Gemara says, Amarev Bibi Barabai Bana Itztiva Agav Itztiva. If you build some type of platform on top of another platform. So the Gemara explained, Im Yesh B'Itztiva Atachtona Arba Mimait. If you have the bottom platform is four tefachim wide, so that itself serves, it's the width that you need in order to create a Pesach to access the top of the kosel. So even though the top itztava might be smaller, that's still sufficient. There's a picture, if you want to get a good idea here, they have like a little picture. It looks like there's like a little box and a table on top of it. In my Masifta, I don't know if you could really appreciate that. It's hard to see from there.
It's almost like a bunk bed.
So the bottom, right, that's a good idea. So the bunk bed at the bottom is four tefachim wide, the top one's a little bit less. But since the bottom one is four tefachim wide, so you've now created the Pesach that you need to step on it to get over on top of the kosel. Now the Gemara says, let's say another way this would actually work. Inami, ein betachton arba. Let's say the bottom part of this bunk bed, if you will, is not four tefachim wide, but yesh ba'el yona arba, but the higher part, the top bunk bed, is four tefachim wide. Ve'ein bein zeh lezeh shloshim shlosha. And the height between the two platforms of the beds, again, if you will, it would be my, that serves as a miyut to allow one to access the top of the kosel. Just look at Rashi. Rashi says here, inami ein ba dalad. If the top one, rather the bottom one, does not have dalad, but yesh bel yona, but the top one does have dalad. Vein bein zel zesh shlosha, and they're not three tefachim in between. Chashrin la hu kechad. We view the two platforms as one unit. Ve'ava pisha hamit hazeh katzer milamati. Even though the itzav on top is very on the bottom rather is very narrow. Since the top of the itztava is wider, that that covers. Aval yesh b'neim shlosh, if there's three tefachim of a separation between the top and the bottom, then training who they are two separate units. V'umiyut ba'avir lav shmei miyut, that would not function as a proper miyut. So then the Gemara says a similar type of case. Another way to be mamait would be Amar of Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, Sulam Sheshlivosava Porchos. If the rungs or the steps of the ladder were to be, porchos means to fly, there would be a big separation of airspace in between. So the way they have an image here, I don't know if you have an image by you, but they have stairs here, like the stairs are kind of sticking out. Yeah, you have like floating steps. And you have sometimes that float and it looks like there's nothing underneath it almost. So if those are the steps going up to the kosel, so the Gemara explains, Im yesh b'shliva tachtona arba, if the bottom shliva, the bottom step, has four tefachim in its width. Mimai, that serves as a miut, and you could access the top of the kosel. Inami, alternatively, ein b'shliva tachtona arba, even if the bottom platform may not have four tefachim wide, but yesh b'shliva ha'al yona arba, but the above one does have four tefachim, and also, v'ein bein zeh lezeh shlosha tefachim, and there's no three tefachim of death separation. We viewed it as one shliva. That would also be another example of being mimai. So we'll stop here. We'll continue tomorrow with another few examples of how else one could be mimai. The top of the wall.
It's almost like that's like the attic, you know, the ladders at the beginning of the attic.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.